universe, and everything. So settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvia Avery.
Everybody, I'm Sylvia Avery and welcome to Spirits Work, where the next hour we'll be bridging the gap between the physical world and the afterlife when spirit guide Gregory Hay communicates with us through Mick's amazing gift of deep trance channeling. As usual on the show, spirit guide Gregory will borrow Mick's body to bring us information that will hopefully expand our knowledge about life on Earth, the universe and other dimensions. And today's show is another chance to have a question yourself, if you like, have your input. It's not a reading-style show, so it's not personal readings. We're not psychics. It's actually information about the metaphysical world, this world, anything to do with your spiritual pathways and basically life on this planet. So I do have questions already sent in from our listeners. That is something that anybody can do at any time. You can email me on enq@spirit-teaching.com. That's on our website, www.spirit-teaching.com. And you can send questions in and I can ask them on your behalf. Or if you want a whole show's worth of questions, I mean, a whole topic, something that's interesting. See, the thing is, if it's interesting to you, it's going to be interesting to somebody else, believe me. And that's what it's all about. The spirit world want to come and talk to us about things that maybe we wouldn't have any way of knowing otherwise. And also just something to proffer a different point of view, really. So the other thing that you can do is if you have a question, you can phone in. It's a free phone in Canada and the US. It's 888-815-9756. International callers, it's not toll free. It's 001-530-876-3222. And we're an hour earlier today because our clocks went back in the UK. No, they went back. Yes, they went back. I'll tell you what, I've been all over the place.
They moved anyway. In actual fact, two of our clocks fell off the wall, didn't they?
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So, in disgust,
yeah. Yeah.
So, if just in case anybody's listening to this at another time, that was the thing. We'll be back on track next week because I believe the clocks change next week, don't they, on the 7th?
No, not at the... Oh, I don't know. Yeah, the 7th, yeah. That's right.
That's the first tomorrow, isn't it?
Yes.
I think so, anyway. Oh, well, whatever. I think we are.
All right, yeah, sure.
Next week. Anyway, keep an eye on the website. We'll be keeping you updated.
Yeah, hi, everyone. I'm Mick Avery. I'd just like to say, actually, before I go into the sort of garb that I talk about, I was just going to say that to bear in mind that whatever questions or any information that is sent in is only sent in to Sylvie. I never ever get to see anything of Sylvie's preparations for the show or the program. None of the topics are sent to my computer. They all go to hers. And so I don't actually get anything, which is actually incidentally part of the reason why we never post topics prior to the show, because then that would mean that I would know what was going to be talked about, and that then would be perhaps some people might think that I'm actually being primed prior to the program, before we go into broadcast. And that's the same with all of the situations that we go into, regardless of whether they're Akashic readings or whether they are to do with shows or podcasts or any of the other public interactives that we do. I'm completely out of the loop as far as whatever topics are discussed or anything. Okay, so I hope you understand that. Anyway, hi, I'm Mick Avery, and welcome to Spirits Work Radio here on bbsradio.com every Sunday normally at 1 p.m. EST, that's 10 a.m. PST, which is normally 6 p.m. GMT, but today we are at 5 p.m. GMT, as Sylvie said, due to daylight saving time. Now, if you'd like to know more about us, we suggest you go visit our websites, which are at www.spirit-teaching.com and also at www.spiritsworkradio.com and and now at mickavy.com as well. I'm sorry, hang on, I can't speak anymore.
You can't stop building websites, folks. Well, look, why don't I just take over from here and you get ready, because you need to have a drink of water. We can't have you coughing.
Okay. I'm sorry, I got a thing in my throat.
Okay.
It's like someone's grabbing it with sandpaper.
Okay, so basically rasp. Nick has to get himself together so that he can go into trance. So I'm going to carry on from here. When Gregory comes through, you will know him as the spokesperson for a group of spirits of greater intelligence called the White Cloud Group. And they consist of eminent scientific minds of all description and have come to help us understand the nature of our existence and hopefully to steer us towards a more harmonious future. They're an educational group responding to a need by those of us who are searching for answers but didn't know who to ask. And they are also responding to a need from our planet, because it's essential that we change our attitude towards it. And hopefully we can see the world with a different perspective after each show and every interaction that we have with the White Cloud Group through Gregory's teachings. And you heard Mick mention our Akashic readings then, and I did say that we don't do readings on this show, but we do readings 5 days a week, and you can have one wherever you are in the world. We can phone you. You can have a phone reading or an audio reading where you just send us your questions. It would be an Akashic reading, and basically it's all to do with you and your energy, your spiritual pathway, and marrying that up with your physical life, and to see if we can help you to get back on the straight and narrow and hopefully make the most of your potential and abilities, basically. It's to do with lots of probabilities and possibilities probably you didn't know that were there for you. And it's all sensible stuff that will really be useful and beneficial to you. It's nothing, it's not fortune telling or anything like that. It's really good information that is really worthy to know. So if you would like an Akashic reading, then do go to our website, www.spirit-teaching.com, and you can find out about them there. You can get in touch with me, and I will let you know more, whatever you want to know. That'd be lovely. So, okay, I do believe Gregory's here now.
Hello, my dear friends, with love and light, blessings as ever.
Hi.
Hello, little bird.
Hello.
Hello, friend. Hello.
Okay. So, would you like to begin with anything particularly?
I was really just going to remark upon the matters of the meeting of various countries extensively that they have met and have been brought together in a sense in the ways in which they have been able to galvanize their whole communities and their understanding as well in matters to do with saving the planet itself in Copenhagen. I understand that this was an unmitigated success at last, rather than broadcasting something more of a disaster.
Absolutely.
I understand that as well, dear friend, to do with this, that it is about saving up to 10% of the world's oceans. There's the thing. That is rather a large amount, I understand, in terms of human capacity to understand the needs and requirements of the ecology of the planet itself. 10% is at least something, I suppose.
It's a start, isn't it?
Yes. Quite so. And I also understand that this is to do with the remarking, in a sense, of not World Heritage sites, but rather to do with biodiversity and the understanding that it has to be kept in order. That means that poorer countries or those who can least fend for themselves, particularly where perhaps large corporations are concerned, that they would be mitigated in a sense in how they are able to protect areas of biodiversity in order to save their natural species of their own country and their own area surroundings from the pollutions created by such companies. I understand, however, that there will still be a massive intrusion, so there is still a great deal of work to do.
Mm. Absolutely. I feel really quite pleased about that, because we did have at least a little input in that with the circular that was going around
for
signatures, gathering signatures, and it was just amazing to find out that it actually worked.
Yes, absolutely so. Mm. I feel that it simply demonstrates the power of all individuals to come together, and that is the point, really. That is what human beings need to do en masse a great deal of the time. So that, in a sense, gives you the impetus, the positivity and focus to understand by redoubling your efforts, you can actually manage this. I understand that the difficulties presented at this moment in time, particularly with seals of the frozen Arctic and Antarctic and various other creatures, which at this present time have large holes burnt through their skin and fur and into themselves. That is part of the situation of problems occurring, really, to do with the slight changes and wobbles in the axis that you yourselves have been experiencing. And of course, this means that these slight fluctuations and changes, even though muted by many peoples in the scientific community and thought of as being wholly and totally ridiculous, that in actual fact, these are very real situations and very real circumstances. As I say, we have been talking about for a long time now, except that ordinarily they had not been so purposeful, so, in a sense, acute. It appears to be now that more and more animals are suffering from these various different wobbles of the actual axis point of the Earth itself, and the way in which then this brings about sort of gyratory motions of the Earth toward and then away from the Sun in various different ways. These fluctuations then change quite markedly matters of atmospheric pressure with regards to climate changes that are being made, and also tectonic plate pressure, which is then surmounted by it, in a sense, caused not just by the climatic pressure and changes from these wobbles, but actually the tectonic plates as they move differently because of the shifts in changing patterns of the gravitational field and the Earth's own pull, as well as the Sun's pull upon the Earth. Hence the various different situations that you have at this present time of volcanic eruptions and other tectonic plate movement. We are understanding as well of the very situation to do with animals and plants and various different native species throughout the planet, as well as humankind as well, of course. And our minds are always observant and centrally focused upon the well-being of all life that exists on your side of life.
Okay, that's great. It's like you say, you don't want to be doom and gloom.
No, absolutely not.
It can be a problem doing this work, because there's so many things, isn't there, to sort of like bring to everybody's attention, and this is something that we have to be careful of and sort of try and sort of make it you know, balanced, so people just don't think, oh, blimey, you know, that was really depressing. But there was two things there. There was, well, more than two things, but there was a good balance of good and bad there, and just it's great, yeah, that worked, and it seemed to be working.
Yes, so people have to take the impetus now.
Absolutely.
That is our point, really, that it means that people can see that actually their voice can be heard and that they can do things. They can, in the words of Mr. Obama, they can be done.
Yes.
You can do it.
Yes.
You just have to focus and bring other people on board who are not necessarily that way inclined, because in fact it's in everyone's interest.
Mm.
And it's not just in the interest of those of us on our side of life. Otherwise, it would be like we are bleating on like dead sheep.
Or dying sheep. Okay.
Yeah, but we're already there, you see.
All right, okay. Here we are. Just before I go to my first question, I've got something here from Jessica Colden from Arizona.
Yes, yes, Jessica.
Yes, she wrote in saying, I look forward every Sunday to your show, and I would like to have my personal reading done sometime soon. Thank you so much for posing my question to Gregory last week. I enjoyed his answer and I've taken his advice. Okay, she says, I don't know if it would be possible for you to mention briefly something on your show tomorrow, but it is a very special day for my dear friend Chris, and I know he will be listening from his home in Devon in England, and if you would wish him a happy day, I know it would delight him.
Well, my dear friend, absolutely, dear friend Chris and Jessica, I understand this message comes from you to Chris and from us on our side of life as well, that we wish you well. We wish you the greatest prosperity and energy and focus for the loving indications of your life to come to fruition as you will have it.
Have a lovely day, Chris.
Absolutely,
sir. Yeah, yes. That's great. Okay. Right. Now then, I want to continue. We have a few emails here, one from Diane in Florida, another one from Christopher in Oregon, and some more here from Rebecca, and Sage in Suffolk.
Yes.
So, actually, what I would like to do is to continue on with where we left off last week. We didn't actually leave off there, but it's to do with the OPAC conversation that we had last week.
Yes, Finn, little bear.
Because Christopher in Oregon was still
ruminating.
Ah, that's right, ruminating over a few things. Now, there's much too much to read out here, and he did actually say it was just his musings, really, curiosity, and not really questions. But there's obviously, you know. It's no good Gregory coming through with this information if he's not made himself clear. If you haven't quite grasped something, then highly likely that somebody else might not have either.
Absolutely, I understand that.
Yeah,
it's part. Part of the condition of when we are answering questions in this way, we are actually thinking in terms of the different ramifications of how other people think and the different sets of circumstances, which may then create variances of the answer that we may then give, depending upon where a person has alighted from, what their standpoint is, and how they view the situation in the outset.
Okay.
So there are bound to be slightly different answers, you see.
So, so basically we were talking about OPAC, which is, if you could just quickly go over that. Well, he said here it is an energy type of spirit being.
Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Yes. Which by the nature of its being an OPAC means that the energies related to it are, I'm not going to say of a superior nature, but are of a different nature to other beings who are not. And that is simply because of the details of immersion that these beings have had within different states of mind, reality, and life exchange.
Right, okay, because Zofia got in touch as well, and she wanted to know more about that. Okay, so, but they are actually, let me just find this part in this.
Yes, yes.
This
I don't
question.
Mind if you want to read
okay,
more.
Okay, well, Okay.
May then help other listeners to acquaint themselves with these musings.
Okay. So, soul groups, since they are an amalgamation of collective soul experiences, can be abandoned for something other, because if we can discard our soul identity, our tie to the soul group would be forfeit?
Yes, it's not really... when you are an OPAC, that doesn't mean to say you are only of a certain kind of soul group energy. Soul group energy, don't forget, means the type of being your spirit is, the way that you focus. And the differences that come through a marked life, should we say, as in human form upon the Earth planet, will be in one registry or in one way, and or maybe in an amalgam of different ways. If you appeared upon another planet as a different species or a different kind of being, would it be somehow dissimilar to it, or would it be quite similar, being that you still come from the same soul group? It would, of course, be that a soul group has a bandwidth. That means has a varying different strain from one kind of natural cause and effect to another kind of natural cause and effect. So it has a bandwidth and variances in between it. So you may have a very loving being who is actually very centered upon interspecies relationships and companionships. And that is something that becomes a signatory right throughout the entire soul group. Or there may well be a number of soul groups who reflect these same instances but have variances upon the type, purely and simply because they have interests in certain ventures, certain avenues. One might be the chemical properties of it. One might be the inherent faculties of other species living within the prime species, for example, and how those different energies correlate with them. For example, in the state of human consciousness and physical being, you're not just a human physical being. You're also an amalgamation of probably something in the region of 18,000 other species and subgroups of different kinds of bacteria and different kinds of evidences of life, which also live within your physical body that enable it to function. Yes. And so all of this means that all of these different beings living and being a part of your living condition are, in a sense, a part of the evolutionary state of the Earth, but also your decision-making and the properties that you exhibit as a conscious physical being mean that you have a tonal variation, which is typically governed by your beautiful, pure spirit. That doesn't mean to say that beings who are violent or in some other way intensively negative, murderers or whatever, are all from a certain soul group or something like that. Mm. There is no soul group of that type.
No, and there's not. So he says about, so OPAC heritage predates our soul groups that we are in now.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, because so, it's actually the first part of immersion. So in this respect, OPAC heritage comes from when your beautiful, pure spirit moves away from the creation of all life. That means becomes separated from that wondrous and pure divine energy, but does not diminish or become depleted by it, by the cause of separation. The cause of separation, incidentally, is purely like a factual evidence gathering. The individual spirit energy icon, in a sense, is attracted into a form of attraction toward other things, other circumstance, because it is curious, querying, it is a situation of understanding and wanting to gain, in a sense, a kind of a perplexive view. That means, in a sense, not passing judgment, but simply immersing into a field of vision or a field of circumstance whereby it itself, the energy of its spirit, can absorb the different matters that may be being created about it whilst having some kind of physical or non-physical experience. Spirit, remember, is always non-physical, yet at times during the life of OPAC may, through immersion, become physical, that doesn't mean to say not necessarily that it would grow to type, as in the form of evolutionary status, but may well, in fact, grow to its own type or its own variation. That means that, I suppose, in a sense, you could say that a spirit OPAC immersing itself in some particular world may well, in fact, be an amoeba-like being on the surface, on the outside of it, to all other beings, but that is just an exterior shell, after all. It may even not have that. It may be just an energy field that decides and wishes to gain experience by observation or naturalization in some other way.
But can actually move back into the spirit life
at any time.
At any time, and not just purely through death.
Choosing.
So, like,
yes, absolutely. Yeah. There is no, there's none of that in a sense. Mm. When you are OPAC, you don't use the same sequence as in having to suffer a physical depletion and then passing through some illness or failure of working of the physical mechanical machinery. What actually happens with OPAC life conditioning is that the energy of the OPAC actually changes and immerses or changes its vibration simply because it has a will to do that. And by changing its vibration simply means that it melts away back within and to encompass the ether world or the spirit world, if you like, or however you wish to describe that place. However you may regard it to be, we would not wish to reflect upon this as something that is, in a sense, level 5 or dimension number 6 through to 11 or some other such contrasted and mindful action of human conditioning.
Okay. So the if you had been an OPAC, not everybody in the soul group that you just came from would necessarily be an OPAC.
That is very true, absolutely.
But what are the likelihoods of that being the case, though?
Well, it really, really does depend. I suppose you could say around about 8, maybe 9% of all beings in the spirit world have passed through that kind of experience.
Okay.
Which I suppose in some respects is quite large. But that having said, it does not mean to say that all other beings are lesser or some other way inferior.
No, and so that's something that has to happen, you know, way back. That's not something that you can have after having a physical life, be an OPAC after that.
No, absolutely. That's quite
because
true.
Because you've already soiled yourself, as it were.
Physical life, unfortunately.
Yeah, because that's the crazy thing, I think, that always does me in is the fact that it is a gamble, isn't it? You know, once you've had this physical life, you can actually be not such a good spirit as you were before you came. But then I guess that's that's what it's all about.
It's a part of the conditioning of having Earth physical life, unfortunately, at this present time. Purely and simply doesn't mean to say that that's the lot of all beings having Earth physical life. For some beings, they actually have a very loving and very giving life. And I understand that too. And so they may not undergo the same kind of transitionary states that some of you have to muster through. But that doesn't mean to say either that it makes one less or more or higher evolved than the other. The trouble is, I feel, that humankind has become immersed in this kind of evolutionary standoff point, whereby some beings are thought to be diminutive in some way, or even pond life, whereas in actual fact, there's nothing of the sort. And in actual fact, a tadpole may think in great detail, so to a newt.
Okay. I'm going to finish. I'm going to carry on till we've got to the end of this.
Yes, please do.
Because there's some more questions
about
the OPAC situation.
Yes.
What are the eternal elements of one's spirit?
Consciousness. That's an eternal element. You see, consciousness isn't just something that's at the whim of having a physical life or the kind of immersion that you are currently engaged in. Consciousness is something that you have regardless of whether you are enjoying Earth physical life or not. Consciousness has also a part in many different halls, in many different conditions. Many different vibrations are also a part of it to consciousness. So that means that you may have a being, for example, who is an atheistic murderer. That does not mean to say that their consciousness is not actually capable at some stages within its life plan and purpose, absolutely beautiful thoughts and feelings. So that means to say that consciousness is part of all that is, and in that respect is part of all that is spirit. Your spirit, you must not forget, is a part of the consciousness of all. So that means also that because of the fact your spirit is consistent and constant, it means that, in actual fact, if you looked at your beautiful, pure spirit from millions of years ago, it's not a lot of different to how your beautiful, pure spirit is now. Just because you exhibit certain kinds of behavior doesn't mean to say it makes your spirit bad or negative, or that your spirit is in somehow ad hoc to other members of your civilization, which are, in a sense, lauded and felt as though they are far above you. Nothing could be further from the truth. And in actual fact, all beings who live upon the conscious physical life, whatever they have done, their spirits are all equally divine.
Underneath it all.
Underneath it all, regardless of what has happened or transpired to make them give their conscious setting or judgments recourse.
Okay, well, I am going to carry on with
this topic. Yes,
but
please.
I'm just going to skip to Diane's question from Florida. Wonderful show, guys. Thank you for sharing your gifts. You're doing such important work, and I'm so glad to have you in my life, if only over the radio. That's lovely. Would you please explain to me how, if love is the fundamental energy, how is it that there are those who find it fun or find sexual pleasure from crushing baby animals or abusing children?
Yes, absolutely.
Can it be that these people were born devoid of love?
Yes, you must remember, my dear friend, that in many respects, love, loving energy, is in a sense a connotation of human psyche or behavior. So that means to say one person's connotation of what love actually means to them, or what the energy of love is installing within them as a memory context, is actually coming from something that is arguably a matter of personal choice, you would agree, depending upon perhaps that being's morality, how the environment has had various different sways within their morality, chaos or affinity, meaning that being will have certain set behavior parameters of which it finds or defines that its behavior is normal. So that means to say, part of the reason why it is that perhaps a tribe in that some part of the world actually thinks that it's quite all right to eat their baby children who are girl children, and that there's nothing actually wrong with that, particularly if they happen to be hungry at the time. Whereas others will think nothing of eating their dog and cat, or perhaps other animals that they've caught, trapped, or killed in some other way, or abused in some other way. So you have very many different morality causes and clauses that come and pull into mind about what you think in your standpoint is a morality cause for your favour or for your disfavour. You see, that's a matter of your judgment and your morality state. So that means to say that, in a sense, you're occupying or being in a duality life of occupying upon a planet this life that you wish to be as beautiful as you can possibly make it. I can understand where you are actually feeling this disservice. My point, really, dear friend, is that in many respects, people who abuse children or who gain power or some other energy from, usually it's a feeding frenzy situation. That means to say that certain parts or pathway of their morality or of their emotional need, desire or judgment has been impaired, one would say, if you are deciding to come from the place of conformity or from normalcy. That is where we are saying that love normally exists in the state of union and in the state of giving love to some other being because you wish to be in service to it, not take advantage of its need, desire, or just because you can. So that means to say that all of these different things you see that we're wrapping up here are really to do with how human beings think. And that it's not really that much different on our side of life. When we see the many millions and millions of beings who pass through to our side every single year, we are actually noting the different behaviors of this person, that person, what they brought with them, what they've managed to try to bury under the carpet, which were to do with their matters of factuality in their life, and that they actually think they're going to get away with it. Or that they think that they're waiting for their 72 virgins, that they dutifully fulfilled their rights and wishes of their imam in order to make that their presentation. And in actual fact, suddenly, lo and behold, they find that it's all a lie. My point here is that other beings will create within physical life whatever conscious admittance there is to be had in order to goad some other life into taking steps so that they can vicariously, voyeuristically receive the same kind of energy, the same kind of empathy with the notion as though they had pulled the trigger, exploded the bomb about their vest, blown up an aeroplane or whatever else it was, or raped a child as whatever else it was that they created the path to engineer someone else into that way of thinking. I hope you understand that. So in a sense, many different people, when they are teachers of fact or veracity, because they have a specific engine of their conscious physical mind to fulfill in judgment's sake or case of morality that they may have about themselves, that they do so by soliciting other people to do their work for them and then vicariously, voyeuristically, gain energy from that experience, even though they didn't do it themselves. They are soliciting someone else to do it for them.
So you're saying that it's an addiction, really, to negative chemical
bodily reactions.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I mean, absolutely. So that's right.
Because, you know, the question, if love is the fundamental energy, well, okay, so let's say your spirit is pure love. Then,
but that's completely different to the physical human being thing of what love could be.
Okay, but if I may finish.
Yes, of course.
The premise is that our spirit is the pure essence of what we are when we're having a human existence. The more negativity we are around and we create, then the less in touch with that higher conscious self that is there to be attuned to, the more it fades into the background and the less likely we are to act in a very sort of spiritually aware way.
Absolutely.
And demonstrate that love and have it flow.
Yes.
Okay, so presumably this is what happens for all of these different, whatever, myriad of reasons why these people are like that. But basically, the more buried their spirit nature becomes underneath all of that, the more negative they are. And then the chemical reactions that flow through their body feeds them into more.
Absolutely, friend. And pushes the boundary, don't you think?
Yes. And then they need to Okay.
So it's just like an illness, as you rightly point out, Finn, Little Bird.
Mm.
Yes, I see.
So, but don't you think that this is why you can't really say about human beings, you can't look at this planet like we try and look at other planets and other races and say, oh, this is how they are. You can't. You just can't do that with us, can you? We are all so different.
Yes, there is such a myriad, Little Bird, of different predisposes, predestined, in a sense, thought patterns and conditioning that happens depending upon what tribe you are from, what race, what situation, cycle of violence, cycle of empathy, how you were brought up.
So ego, power, control, all of those things, they tend to, unfortunately, overburden the more subtle niceties of spiritual thinking and just loving, peaceful ways.
Yes, that's right.
Do you think if the planet was, like, 10 times bigger, we would be not quite so hostile?
I think that there are actually probably just too many human beings. However, I note with some degree of caution here, dear friend, that in our studies we have seen even small tribes, small tribal elements, which if they're not really glued together well, that is that they, I'm not talking really necessarily about very strict parental controls or whatever, but that if the loving, nurturing value condition is not exhibited within every single one, then you begin to have, even in those value times, beings who overreact, who overcompensate, who feel left out, feel some kind of avarice towards someone else who apparently, unbeknownst to themselves even, have got more or have something more, more goats, more cattle. Their family has more wigwams, their family has more skins, you see, more animal skins. It all began with cave dwellers, in a sense.
Mm. Well, let's go back to then. I mean, you've said that we were infiltrated a few times by other races.
Yes, that's right.
From elsewhere in the universe.
Yes. Trying to put it right or trying to change the schematic so that it would have a different kind of value, a different kind of sense.
But it hasn't worked, has it?
Well, it's worked in a sense. A part of it has worked, otherwise you would still be completely barbaric and completely animalistic and simply wouldn't change anything.
Well, probably would have wiped each other out totally by now.
Well, exactly, that's my point. Yes. Or become as docile as mountain gorillas. You see, they haven't changed for millions of years.
Well, is there a point in question there? I mean, you know, because let's face it, you can see there are different, different cultural races on this planet.
Yeah.
Surely that has to be to do with the different species that came and did, how would you say it?
No, I wouldn't actually
say that.
No, I would not say that, Little Bird. Not really. No, the conditioning is really about how substantial or how that particular tribal group or maybe even just small party of animals or beings of one nature actually found that living in harmony was far superior. And usually because the females of the harmony group were actually the real ones that were in charge of it.
Mm-hmm.
That has usually been the case, that you will find that within the greatest harmony groups, it will be that it's simply like that because the females are in charge of it. And so they structure the right kind of harmony because they only allow the males into the group at certain specific times.
Okay.
Because otherwise they are well aware that generally what will tend to happen is that you have too many males banded together, they create war.
So are you saying that women should rule the world, Gregory?
I am saying in actual fact, friend, apart from certain leaders that appear to be on your side of life that maybe have more testosterone than female hormones, that apart from those, it would appear to be that women actually have an ability to create an abundance between them which is non-partisan, which is not a condition of selfishness.
Yes.
but has a condition which reflects for the good of all.
Equality.
And that's something that's a much more equal measure, you see? So that means that the loving, nurturing condition actually then is enabled to take center stage. We see no evidence whatsoever that when men brought together are able to control themselves in this way, they are always, but always, vying for one-upmanship, one kind of power or leadership over another.
Even though if women are fighting, it's usually actually quite horrendous.
But no, I understand
usually,
that.
It's not quite the same, is it? Let's get an army and.
Yes, and usually what happens also, my dear friend Little Bird, with females are that they actually understand more about limitation. Usually what happens is when one becomes outsourced or outstretched beyond its own veracity, otherwise taking liberties, taking advantage, trying to create power over someone else, over another group of women or something, that will usually come back to haunt them severely, and they become very quickly demoted and have that power taken away from them by the mass, you see? The point is, what I'm saying is, with the males, they don't allow that control. Our observations have been of humanity that males generally tend to fight for control and then do everything that they can to keep it, in spite of anything.
Well, I was just going to say, yes, beyond any sense of any reason whatsoever.
Yes, quite so. Absolutely. And I know I was, my short life as a male.
So, I really don't know about this.
But if I may just, just interplay here. So, when you are contorting about the energy of love as in respect of human capacity for it, you are really talking about the nurturing, loving, giving in service senses that are, as we are all aware, hopefully, that these then create the measurable energies and vibration at which you then feel better of yourself and better about wanting to give. That's what love is, on a physical, emotional level, as well as a physical touch, sensational level. So that means to say that the more that you do that and experience it, the more that you want to do that and experience it. In itself becomes a sort of a soporific effect in any event. You see? In the respect of this, it means that in actual fact, what you experience as a physical conscious being is just really but a portion of what the energy of love really is within the universe, in the universal context. Because what you're experiencing it is just a fraction of it, because it's only the physical bits. It's also the emotional need, yes, I understand that, and the conscious level of vibration at which you feel abundant and a kinship of someone else that makes you not just attracted to, but actually chemically bound to that other being or that group of beings or a group of an idea even. You begin to fall in love with an idea, even though it may not all be meted out. It may not all be painted or imagined or created. It could be actually in the idea of hope of what is to come, possibly.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So the part of the question where Diane says, can it be that these people were born devoid of love? Then they're not born devoid of love, but it could be, couldn't it, that not long after they're born, that basically this is crushed. The essence of their beautiful self, the energy that could be crushed by the upbringing that they have.
That is quite
basically
true, or could be warped
into
something else. Don't forget that, friend.
And
that
then all downhill from there, sort of thing.
Yes, or may just simply be sidelined in some little box somewhere tucked away. You see? And that's not a reflection on that being spirit. Don't forget that when a being having a physical conscious life descends, and I use that word advisedly, in respect of their vibration, that is, encourages further negativity and further influxes of deep negativity resonant with their flesh, as it were, what's actually happening there is that they're really becoming addicted to those feelings in a chemical balanced way. That means that part of the contortions that you're seeing of humankind moving through in these different descriptives, whether they are presenting themselves as psychological disturbances or actual physical references of abuse that is then to do with child rape, molestation, murder, whatever, that all of these, and I'm not being frivolous about any of this at all, that it means that all of these conditions and representations are, in a sense, instruments of addiction.
Mm. Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't want to labour on this much longer, but unfortunately, then if people like this go into these prisons, then it's just their hate factories, aren't they, really? And
yes, that's right.
And make things worse.
Yes, absolutely
generally,
so.
Generally.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
I have not yet seen a valid way or argument for making these this kind of service. I have not yet seen a valid point of how human beings may actually recover themselves fully simply because the psychiatry just isn't there.
No, no. And the thing is, it's bad enough trying to get help for people who are good, you know.
Yes, and just a little bit ill on
exactly,
your side of life.
Exactly.
Yes,
so, you know, so, this is not going to happen anytime soon, I don't think.
Yes,
but anyway, okay, I must just round this other question up about the OPAC heritage.
Yes.
Because basically, Crystal's, I'm not sure if we went a bit haywire here. If soul identities can fade or change or become a vague, hazy memory upon our infinite record, what is it that is imprinted upon the spirit as occurred to those with an OPAC heritage that transcend a soul experience and that of soul groups?
Yes, it's not really the case. The point is that these are from the recollections of mind, of conscious physical state, and the temperance of having to deal with that with the logistics of the brain. So that means, in a sense, it's at the behest of the brain as to whether it'll find it or not.
Yes, yeah, so...
And
yeah.
Not necessarily, forgive me, not necessarily at the behest of the spirit to inform the physical brain.
Yeah, because he says, what is it? Is the difference that makes it bypass soul memory retention? This seems to create a situation where human existence and OPAC existence are not comparable, but in a sense of one being significant and the other less so. Is this what it is? It's not like that. You don't.
No, it's not really like that. It's not. We're not dealing with a parity situation of one's better than another. OPAC heritage is obviously infinitely better than any other life form you could ever possibly have in existence. But that's not the point. Apart from the fact that you're all pure, beautiful spirit.
Yes, but but your soul doesn't forget anything, does it?
No,
it's not something that can happen.
That's
it's
right.
It's there somewhere.
Yes, absolutely. It's just a matter of finding it, knowing where the location is, or, more to the point, understanding whether it wishes to be revealed.
Okay.
For purposes of itself. Don't forget, just because you are having a conscious physical life at the present time doesn't mean to say you have to know everything. And certainly does not mean to say...
Christopher does.
That I am well aware of. But does not mean to say either that it means that life form has to understand all of the messages of its past of millions and millions and millions of years in terms of Earth physical state before the Earth even existed.
Okay.
So in a sense, you could say that the condition of mind, of consciousness in the physical sense, is that it just gets nosy for the sake of it. And not necessarily is it going to be that all information it finds or observes is necessarily relevant at this point in their pathway.
Yeah, that's...
I think relevance is the key.
Yeah. I mean, it is totally fascinating, but in a different way, in a more sort of, I think, intellectual way than actually the reincarnation theory and all of that. I didn't want to bring that up, but do you know what I mean?
Yes,
you know,
I understand.
Because normally we will say, I do anyway, personally, I'm not really interested that much about, I wouldn't, even if I believed in it, I wouldn't be that interested in it.
It's still like trying to knit fog.
Exactly. What on earth it can yes. Be.
What any, good is any it going good to do
for
you?
For it's, me now,
yes,
I have
yes.
no idea. I have hard enough time dealing with today and the future. So, without all of that confusion, basically.
Yes,
but
yes.
But it is good in, for instance, in the Akashic readings where people can find out if they were an OPAC or what their soul group was and what their spirit energy is really all about and
yes.
what they were doing before with that, because it means that you can actually tune into that.
Yes,
it means it's
absolutely.
There for the taking. It's there for the bringing forward and bringing out.
And understanding in your present physical life now.
Yes.
So why wouldn't you want to do that?
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
Quite.
Yeah. Nothing to do with life here. This is the other point in this question, you know, like he said about it being, it seems to create a situation where the human existence and OPAC existence are not comparable. They're just different.
Completely different.
But we do. We compare everything. We compare, I don't know, two singers that sound similar.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, we compare
yes, yes.
absolutely
that's right.
everything.
Two
why
dancers,
do we do?
Dancing.
Yeah. Why do we do that?
Yes.
As human beings, we have to do that. Why?
Because you know, of drawing comparison.
Yeah. Why?
Wanting
it drives
to be
me
better.
Nuts.
One to be better than another because you love to adore. And adulation creates champions, and the lesser of that is that you have to have some lackey somewhere who carries the bags.
No, it's weird. You know, it was, you know, if you said, they used to, like Michael Jackson, oh no, I like Prince. Whitney Houston, oh
yes,
no, I like Celine Dion, you know.
Yes, yes.
Some soap, oh no, I like the other soap. So it's just...
And they're all completely different
yeah.
anyway. They all have their unique styles
weird.
And variances and all beautiful, actually expressing their wondrous spirit.
But is it because we're always trying to look for somebody to look up to follow some icon, some
yes,
something that somebody else has got, you know, the herding situation?
Yes,
or,
it's part
know.
Of the herding situation whereby people actually feel an empathy unity because of their loving experience of being in that scene of devotion. That's part of the reason why Jesus, Buddha, whoever else.
Yeah, I guess religion
gains
that
kind of religious stance. And the least side of that, of course, is its persecutions, because you are always going to have then others who will say that Michael Jackson is or was rubbish, or that they will bring up his wretched past or whatever in order to try to diminish his loving energy, which in actual fact we would have none of it.
No, because he's beautiful.
Yes, absolutely
yes.
so.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Gregory.
With love and blessings to you, everyone, and thank you so for everyone who has taken the time and the trouble and the understanding to write and ask these wonderful and valid questions. I thank you so, little bird, for your loving interaction and for your joyous companionship.
Thank you.
And thank you so. God bless.
Mm. Okay, well, do join us again next week on the Spirits Work Show on the wonderful bbsradio.com, and have a happy Halloween. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.